What you're feeling is a brand new air AC system, the air handler and the outside unit. And there is more to come this week. We were trying to get it all done so we have like the stage all changed up. Hopefully you noticed that the stage is different. And maybe right now you're going, oh yeah, the drums are on the other side. And we have a booster AC system that's coming this week. And the praise report is that we called the owner, and he's been so gracious to us through this whole thing of renting the building. When we started this building, he rented it to us for nothing, like zero. So he's been real gracious to us this whole process. We are now not paying nothing anymore. Praise God. We are paying full rent for this place. But it was great as we grew and that kind of stuff. So all these vents are being redone this week. There'll be another vent that's going to go down, and that's going to be the new booster AC system. And some of you are like, we're freezing. And some of you are like, I'm hot. It's because the way it's all run, and we're going to have it done correctly. And the owner has picked up a ton of the tab. And we got another quote. Well, we kind of got another quote, but it was all before he could finish the quote. The owner really stepped up and really helped us out a lot. So we are paying a couple of $1,000 to have the new unit. Basically, we're paying for the unit that's going out here, and the owner is paying for the new ductwork that's going to go in. So praise God for that. Thank you. So it's really good. What am I speaking on today? Here's what I'm speaking on today. I want to talk about the God is in the creative this morning. And I know we just prayed for the offering. Let me just pray for me real quick. God, I thank you for your help this morning. God, speak through me. God, give out your word and not just some person's opinion. But God, we pray, God, for that you would speak to our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. All right, the God of the creative. So, years ago, I was going to a church up in Canton, Georgia, a little small church up in Canton, Georgia. And it's really where I really gave my heart to the Lord. It's actually marked over, he's sitting right there. His dad was pastoring the church, and so I was a part of that church. It's really where I grew in the things of God. I really dedicated my life to the Lord at that church. It was a great time, but it was up in Canton, and so I was living in Marietta, so it was quite a drive through the kind of the back roads, if you know, 140 and up through Arnold Mill whatever those roads are back there, some back roads. And I was driving into church one Sunday, and I was looking at all the, it was springtime, and if you know anything about me, one of my favorite trees are, and my favorite tree is absolutely the dogwood. I love the dogwood. When I was younger, at my house growing up, we had two dogwoods that were in the front of our house, and they were both pink dogwoods. They were really beautiful. And so I grew up, and I always loved them. And I think really what it is my love of dogwood kind of reminds me of home, right? It's that longing of home and longing of, it's beautiful. I love it. And so so I was driving in, and I was noticing that it was the time for the dogwoods. And if you know anything about fishing, when the dogwoods are blooming, it's time to go crappie fishing. But anyway, that's a side note. But so I was driving up, and I was noticing, and it dawned on me that God created that. That was God's idea. The dogwood was God's idea. And not only that, the rose bush is God's idea. And all the different plants and all the different types of trees, that was God's idea. And it dawned on me, I was like, God, you are like a creative. You are creative. Like in who you are, God, you are creative. Like, the idea that before, you know, he didn't look on Pinterest and go, I got an idea for a tree. Oh, that's exactly what I should do. Like, God didn't look at Pinterest to figure out an idea of what a tree would look. He, out of his own, right, he created all that we see, right? It's an amazing truth that God is creative. And what God creates, listen, what God creates tells a lot about who God is. What God creates tells a lot about who God is. Any artist that paints or whatever their canvas is, whether they sculpt or whatever, you can see the heart of the artist in whatever they design or whatever they paint or whatever they sculpt, right? Whatever they do, you can see the heart, because most artsy type people are really they're really in touch, right, with their soul, right, with who they are on the, and they express that out of whether it's music, whether it's dance, whether it's whatever that thing is, it's out of their heart. And so what God creates tells a lot about God and who He is. Listen to this, and here's a scripture, Psalms 19, verse 1. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world." And then watch this in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, one of my favorite scriptures. I love this scripture. It says this, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine natures have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made," what God made, "so that the people are without excuse." And a lot of times we use that, see, people are not without excuse. I want to focus on that first part. "For since creation of the world, His invisible qualities and His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen by what has been made." So what God creates says a lot about Him. I think the vastness of space, right? You think of the vastness of who God is. And not only that, the depths of the seas that will probably never be fully explored, right? I want you to look at these pictures. These are mountains. I want you to look at the mountains as we show these mountains. These are not the Drachensberg Mountain. When I think about mountains, there's all kind of different ranges, right? I remember the first time I ever saw the Rocky Mountains. First time I ever, I flew into Denver, Colorado. And it's amazing. If you've ever been to Denver, Colorado, it's real, like the city is like in this flat, like ravine. But and it's like, wow, straight up in the air, right? Straight up in the air. I think I was in South Africa on a mission trip. And I remember we were in the Drakensberg Mountains. The Drakensberg Mountains are in a little country that's actually within South Africa. And it's a country called Lesotho. And those mountains, those Drakensberg Mountains, go 11,000, they're 11,000 feet in their elevation. The Rocky Mountains at their highest, right, are 14,000. The Himalayas, right, you go straight to the Himalayas, Mount Everest, right, 29,000 feet. So you think the Rocky Mountains are big, right? You think about the vastness. Let me just put it out there. What does that say to you? Unless we'll do interaction here. What does that say about God? When you think about mountains, what does that think?
He's big.
He's big.
Variety.
Excellent. Cold. He's what?
Cold.
God is cold. No, He's not cold. No, I'm just kidding. No. I have nothing to say about that. They are cold, though. It is true. Crisp. He's crisp. Yeah. Vast. Vast. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Beautiful. Right? Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. Right? Right? Awesome. What about this? The next one is the eagle. I love the eagle. This is America. When you see that eagle, you think of America. 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 You think about the eagle, you think about the talons that they have. I remember Mike Jordan and I were out fishing one morning, and we weren't catching anything. Like, we weren't catching a thing. It was like if you've ever been fishing, it's so discouraging. You're like, nothing, you know, like nothing. And then this eagle comes flying down right in that, like it must have been, it was probably 50 yards from the boat. Goes and pulls up this like good sized fish. It was a big eagle, and it pulls up this fish, and like, and me and Mike just went, "God wins." You know, it's like, it's like, are you serious right now? It's like you just want to go pack it up and go, I'm going home. We were not made for that, right? The eagle, what do you think about when you think about God? What does that say about God? Strong, yes.
Majestic.
Mighty. What's that?
Bold.
I thought you said cold. He's not cold. Again, he's not cold.
Powerful.
What's that? Powerful, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, awesome. And then what about this next one, the dolphin? Let me just say one thing about the dolphin. So they did this study on dolphin, and they were trying to figure, you know, if you've ever been to the ocean, you've ever driven on the boat in the ocean, you'll notice that the dolphins will go and jump in the waves. And scientists were like, what's the deal? Why did they do that? Well, they studied it and studied it and studied it and studied it. You know what they came up with?
Nothing.
They were just having fun. That's it. There's no other reason for those dolphins to jump in those waves except to, hey, there's a boat. Cool. Right? There's no other reason. Right? So what does that say about God?
He's fun.
He's fun. God is fun. He didn't have to create this animal, right? But out of God's invisible, watch this, his invisible qualities are shown to us by a dolphin. Yeah.
They're very, very smart.
They're very smart, yeah. Intelligent, yeah.
They're always smiling.
They are always smiling. They are. You've never seen a grumpy dolphin, right? There's no other reason. There's no other, they just play. Like the one of my daughter's favorite animal is the sea otter.
Yeah.
Like, what does that say about God? Playful, right? Fun. I got a whole different teaching that we could go down that whole path. It would be wonderful, but not this morning. Okay, what about the last one? The last picture. Us. Now be nice to yourself. And be nice to our fellow humans. They're always nice. And perfect teeth, by the way.
Very white teeth.
Very white teeth, yeah. What does that say? What does that say about God? Huh?
I think it means that he can take on many forms. If we're all
yes.
in his image, but we all look different.
Don't preach my message right now. Just hold up a second there, Abby. No, that's exactly right. That's right. What is it? The vastness, right?
Diversity,
absolutely. Listen, he says that it's like, think about this, down to the fingerprint, right? Down to the fingerprint, down to the retinal, move modern, down to the retinal scanner, right? That you are individually you, right? Genesis 1:27 says this, so God created mankind in his own image, and in the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. We are made, you and I are made in the image of God. God is creative, right? Psalms 139, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know, that's a key scripture right there, guys, and I know that full well, right? My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. Now watch this. This is important point number one, right? God created you both on purpose and individually. You are created on purpose. You are not the creation of your parents' love or some terrible act or anything else. You are created on purpose by God. On purpose by God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you were born on purpose individually. You were made in the image of God. You are not an accident. He created you on purpose. Doesn't matter your childhood, how you were brought into this world, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the key scripture is, and my soul knows that full well. My soul knows that full well. Now just stop and think, what if I really believed that? That I was fearfully and wonderfully made, and my soul knew it full well. The fact that you were created, that God created you is individually is an important thing to understand. We don't even talk about it, right? But it's vital to who you are. Listen, let me just say this. I believe this, that God is a super creative. And when he says, let us make man in his own image, I believe that's still ongoing. I believe that's still going on. He is still creating man and mankind, right? In his own image. That one means when another baby is born, a new image of God is created. Not because God, listen, is so vast. You think God's image is all in you? You think God's image was all in Adam and Eve? Are you kidding? God is vast. It takes all of the diverse people on the planet to say, mankind is made in my image. Are there qualities? Yes. Are things that are inside of us individually? Yes. Are there attributes of man that are? Yes. But also think about the diversity of who you are. You were made in God's image. You were made in God's image. Not God made us in the image of God. He made you in the image of God. And what happens is we live in a culture, especially now, and you know me, if you're new, you just trust me, I am not the big social media basher. I don't get up here every Sunday and say, social media is terrible, Facebook is of the devil, you know, Twitter is, well, anyway, but Twitter may be, but you know, I don't get up there, but the problem with those social media things is what happens is it creates a culture of comparison. That's the problem with some of the social media stuff out there. And I know it's great. I know you can keep up. And my brother-in-law, who preached a couple weeks ago, they had their baby. Not their baby. No, their grandbaby this past week. That would be a whole different story. But they had their grandbaby this past week. And I got to see it, like, right after it happened. I get to see the little baby. It's wonderful. Like, it's all good. But then you see other posts, and you're like, you know, people on their vacations. Right? And you see people in their happiness, and you're like, well, I don't go on vacation like that. And you look at it and go, well, they don't post everything. You think they live stream when they're their spouses, when they're in an argument together? Let's live stream this. Here's real life, you know. They don't do that. They put their best face forward. They make sure they take like 15 selfies to get the exact one that they want. You know, I was in Cabela's the other day, and a lady, they had one of the country and western, I don't even know their names, but he's like a big Cabela's, you know, spokesperson, and they had like one of those cardboard cutouts, and sure enough, man, she's like right up next to him. I'm like, that's hilarious. And then she like looked around like, nobody looked. I go, I saw you. Comparison is dangerous, right? You know, and you hear the when couples get on Facebook and they're like, I love you more. I'm so blessed to have you. And you like your marriage, you're like that day, you're like, this is the worst marriage day of my life, right? And you're like, I don't want to hear about that junk. You know what I'm saying? Because what you do is what happens is you see them and you compare yourself to who they are, who you are. You go, well, I don't feel that, or I don't do that, or I don't, you know, my husband doesn't get on and tell how great I am. You know, you see all that stuff, and what happens is it breeds comparison. And God never intended you to compare yourself with anybody else. You are created. You are made. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You were made on purpose. And you were made individually. God made you you. And then he says, and my soul knows that full well. My soul knows that full well. I believe you were born with the image of God. You, sitting there in this chair, me standing here, I believe that you were born with the image of God that nobody else carries. Isn't that awesome? So why in the world would you compare yourself to somebody else? Because you carry an image of God that nobody else carries. There's that book that I've quoted before. I've quoted only the title. I love the title. I've never read the book. But the title is, God Made You an Original, Don't Die a Copy. God Made You an Original, Don't Die a Copy. So if that like whole book is off, like completely off doctrinally, just whatever, I love the title. Right? Boy, if we could get that. God made me an original. You know, there's things in you that you absolutely love. There's things in you that you go that are important to you. And there's things in you that you love. You're creative, right? My wife loves, for some reason, she loves turkeys. She loves like wild turkeys. Like it just does her heart like good whenever she sees wild turkeys. And I'm like, okay, all right. So I'm sure there's a greater spiritual meaning to all that. Look, turkeys. That's why she married me. Important thought, number two, comparison is dangerous because it robs the uniqueness of an individual born in the image of God. Comparison is dangerous because it robs the uniqueness of an individual that's born in the image of God. Now back to creativity. Creativity, the definition of creativity is this, the ability to transcend traditional ideas, rules, patterns, relationships, or the like, and create meaningful new ways, forms, methods, interpretation, originally or progressive. I believe everybody, you are born, you're like, well, I don't really paint. Well, I don't really do that artistic kind of stuff, right? You're like, I get all my ideas, like we picked on Pinterest a minute. I get all my ideas from Pinterest and just copy them. I'm not really artistic in my core, right? Or I'm not really that kind of whatever artistic thing is. I believe that we're all creative. I believe one of the attributes of God that we were created in the image of God is we all are creative. And I believe that even in some of you, your workplace, you express creativity. See, we've put creativity in a box, right? We go, if you draw, you're creative. If you play an instrument, you're creative. If you sing, you're creative. If you're, you know, whatever, you're creative. I disagree with that. I believe that every one of us is creative. And it expresses itself in different ways. It expresses itself through you. Maybe the way if you're a boss, maybe the way it's you're creative in how you run your business, right? How you do your thing, how you make decisions, creative problem solving, right? I believe that's part of the creative nature of who God is because it's out of the ordinary, right? It transcends traditional ideas, right? It transcends different ideas, right? Or just normal ideas. You are creative. And your expression here on earth is an image of God that he wants to... Maybe it's you are the computer and lovingly nerd. You know more about computers than like Bill Gates, right? You know more about computers than anybody, right? You know the little, you know, my son is becoming like this intellectual nerd about all this stuff. And then my son's got this like incredible like memory. Like that's dangerous when your son has a good memory. Like, remember Dad, you said that like 16 years ago? I said like, you were like three. Like what, how does that happen? Well, not 16, he's not 30. Anyway, I didn't do the math right there. But my son, and I'm watching how God is forming him. He turned 14 this year, and I'm watching his giftings are starting to come out, and how he is, and he picked up the bass guitar, and it's not amen. He picked up the bass guitar and he started playing, and he's just like. He like remembers all the scales and like all these stuff. Like, okay, this is how you play this scale. Okay, got it. Like, he learned how to play the Pink Panther. He just figured it out once and started. Now he just knows how to play it. Like, and I was, you know how long I've used to play bass? You know how long it took me to figure that and remember all those stuff? You know, I'm like looking at the chart, looking at the, you know. But he has this like steel trap memory. He was telling us about, he learned like all about the cells and all that stuff last year, and he's regurgitating all this stuff. And I go, I don't even remember. I think he goes, Dad, can you name the part of a cell? And I went, oh, nucleus. That's all I knew, right? Cell wall. I think those are one. I think those are two. And like, but he just rattles them off, right? And I'm starting to see how God made him creatively and how God made him, right? And it's awesome. Now watch this. So how do we do life? John 15. Jesus said this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. True life is found. You know what people say, what's the meaning of life? What's the meaning of life? You know what the meaning of life is? Right here on a Sunday morning. You know what it is? It's you attaching yourself to your Creator and realizing who God intended you to be. And you can only do that when you connect yourself to the vine. You can only do that when you connect yourself to God, your Creator, because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God created you, and He wants to fully express that individuality of your purpose and your individuality of who God created you to be. And you can only do it if we're connected to the vine. I think we're going to talk next week about, we call it kind of the false self. And the false self is anything that we try to do that we kind of try to do outside of finding our life in God. And it does have to do with some sin stuff. It has to do with like overindulgence in some areas and the other things that we try to find life outside of God. But God, if we connect ourselves with our Creator, then true life is found. It's so, listen, God, what I can't stand is, oh God, forgive us for making this life, abundant life, a religious weird duty. This, I got to read my Bible today, check. You know, I got to give my tithes, check. I got to do this, check. I got to serve, check. Man, yes, do that. But man, it is not a syncopated little path of little righteousness steps that you take. It is living out of the full life of God that's on the inside of you. When I live my life out of the fullness of God, man, I'm a better human. Because I'm the example of what God's called me to be. I am me, and the more I can get that on the inside of me, I can quit comparing myself to those goofy people on Facebook or goofy people down the street or for me as a pastor, the big church down the road or the other weird thing. When I can get all that junk out of my head and I can go, you know what? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and you know what? My soul knows that well, and I am secure in the fact that I am fearfully and wonderfully made just the way God made me. And man, boy, that would change the way we dealt with other people. It would change the way we looked and saw other people. We would love other people better because, you know what? God, they're fearfully and wonderfully made. And then we have, and I believe, let me just say it like this, I believe one of the key things that the enemy will try to do is try to rob you. Because remember, the enemy hates God. And you see, Tyrone is in the image of God. I was like tempted to go, what does Tyrone say about God? No, we're not going to do it. We're going to be nice.
Don't get me started.
Yeah. But like, see, Tyrone is made in the image of God. See, so when the enemy sees Tyrone, see, the enemy's seen God. He knows what God's like. He goes, that's an image bearer. You know what? I can't stand him. And you know what? Tyrone's starting to really know that full well. I'm going to do everything I can do to stop that from happening. I'm going to attack him through his past, through the things that have happened in his past, through the things that have tried to hold him back, and maybe some things that have been said about him, and all those memories of all that other stuff. He's going to try to use all those words that people have said about him, and go, I'm going to grab him and attack him, and I'm going to, because I don't want him, because if he gets let loose on the planet as an image bearer and a person full of the Holy Spirit, completely attached to the vine, then the devil's work's in trouble. So he'll do everything. That's why the lies. That's why you get those lies in your head. That's why when you have a bad day, your immediate response is because nothing ever will go right for me. It's because I'm, you know, or somebody says something, or somebody looks at you funny, and all of a sudden the lies. It could have been meaningless, right? It could have been meaningless. Somebody says something to you, and you go, maybe they were coarse because I'm ugly. And those lies get inside of your head. I'll never amount to anything. It'll never work out for me. Happens to other people. Happens to Julie, because Julie's like amazing, right? Things just work out for them, you know. Linda, she's like the sweetest person on the planet. Like everything just works out for her, sure, because she's so sweet. Right? Not to tell you her, but let her tell you her story. And watch how God has restored and put things on the inside of her and brought strength on the inside of her. Because why? Because she connected to the vine. And she goes, you know what? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And I'm learning that my soul is learning to know that full. See, your self-worth gets attacked. Ephesians chapter 3, it says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to all measure with the fullness of God. With the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can all ask or imagine, according to his power that works within us. You know what's crazy? So, give you an example. I wish my daughter was here. She's not here this morning. But my daughter, if you know my daughter has, for those who don't know, my daughter has brown hair. She has brown eyes. And I remember seeing her as a baby, and I went, oh, dear Lord, she looks like me. My poor daughter, she looks like me. And my daughter is like can I just say this? You all love me, right? I was like, my daughter's like a female version of like me. But my daughter's like is beautiful, right? So, which is amazing how God can do that. But the crazy thing is, if you look at my daughter, when my daughter stands next to me, there is no doubt that's my daughter. Right? There is no doubt that when my daughter stands right next to me, well, you know what? You know what's crazy? Is my daughter bears my image. My daughter bears my image. I want you to remember that, because you, in the same way, bear the image of God. You bear the image of God. When we know who we are and whose we are, we can love better. Because I'm not worried about rejection, because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and my soul knows that well. So love is unhindered. Right? You know why God's love for you is unhindered? Because there's no stereotypes. There's no prejudices. There's no comparison. He can fully just love. And he can love you without you responding, because that's who he is. I don't care. It doesn't matter. God doesn't affect God's ability to love anybody, because he just loves. You know why? God's pretty secure in who he is. We can love better when we know that I'm fearfully and wonderfully. We can love better because I can give love freely. We can live courageously. We can live the life God called us to live courageously, because I know God. If God be for me, who can be against me? I'm an image bearer of the King. I'm an image bearer of God himself. And God looks on me and smiles, right? I can live free, not bound by my opinions or other people's opinions about me. Boy, wouldn't that be great? I can't think about what that would look like in your life. You are completely not fazed by other people's opinions about you. You know, and I mean, I'm not a jerky. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's some people who are just kind of. Anyway, live that. You can live a life full of joy. You can live a hope-filled life. You can live generously. We talked about, we did the whole series on uncommon generosity. When you know who you are and that you're made in God's image, and you're free. You are free to love God. To love God. Because you see, Jesus came and he broke away all the, we'll talk about the false self next week. But he came and he broke everything that would come between you and him, which is sin. It's the things that we do to try to find life outside of God. And when we do those things and we live out of our false self, right, and that self that God never intended us to live out of, right? But see, Jesus came and he broke down all that stuff. Jesus came and he freed us from all the sin and all the stuff that would separate us from him. And he said, there is nothing. You can boldly approach my throne and find grace in time of need. Boldly. How can you boldly approach God's throne? Because I know I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that God is for me. God loves me. He loved me enough to pour his image into me. I can, and I know that because through Jesus, I can boldly approach the throne. Because God's unhindered love was poured out on me. And all of my junk and all of my failures and all of my screw-ups and all of my stuff. That God has still loved me and still pursues relationship with me. Let's all stand together. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I want you to bow your heads with me for a minute. Jesus, we look to you. Okay, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, let me just help you. I want you, some of you, as I've been speaking, there's maybe some specific things that are maybe some hindrances. You go, I don't know. I mean, you won't say it. I mean, we probably won't admit it, but there's some things, there's some hindrances, because there, when you talk about being fearfully and wonderfully made, maybe there's that one thing that kind of pops up in your heart, right? I want you to just take that before God. I want you to offer it up to him. Maybe it's the way you think about yourself in terms of your intelligence. Maybe it is your looks. Maybe it's a weight goal that you put on yourself. Maybe it's all the disappointments that you've experienced in your life have culminated into the way you see your life today. And have caused you to say, failure. See, God restores all. God restores all. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Say this with me. Say, I am created in the image of God. Say, I praise you, God, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and I know that full well. Just say it as a confession. Say, I am created in the image of God. Now say this, say, I am glad to be who God created me to be. I am freely loved so I can freely love others. God, in you, I live and I move and I have my being. Help me to draw near to you. In Jesus' name. We're going to take about another 5 minutes.